and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Questions for Pam Bondi, who President-elect Donald Trump has tapped to be the next Attorney General, ranking Senate Judiciary Committee member Dick Durbin.
I need to know that you would tell the president no if you're asked to do something that is wrong, illegal, or unconstitutional.
Also undergoing confirmation hearings today, John Ratcliffe nominated for CIA Director and Secretary of State nominee Marco Rubio. Millions of people in Southern California are on edge as those Santa Ana winds kick up once again. Fire danger remains high across the region, especially where two massive blazes killed 25 people and destroyed thousands of homes. ABC's Ginger Z.
The biggest area that we're extreme risk for today until 3 p.m., that's that PDS, particularly dangerous situation, red flag warning, goes through the San Fernando Valley. It's over toward Ventura, along the 101, the 405.
Middle East negotiators who've been meeting in Egypt say they're close to a ceasefire deal in Gaza. Hamas said to have agreed to terms. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It is mighty cold, and as temperatures drop into the single digits and below this week and next, UW Health Kids has essential safety reminders to keep the young ones safe in winter weather. Rochelle Ethan, Child Safety and Injury Prevention Manager for UW Health Kids, says many winter injuries are preventable. She reminds families to let children come indoors periodically to prevent hypothermia or frostbite, wear sunscreen, and stay hydrated even in the cold. Indoors, make sure there is a carbon monoxide detector on every floor, including sleeping areas. And when in the car, wearing bulky clothes or winter coats can prevent a snug, proper fit of a child's car seat harness. Adjust the harness while the child's coat is off, then put the coat on top like a blanket. Wait until you arrive at your destination before putting the coat back on. A closed child care center in Toma has no plans to reopen. Kids and Company was abruptly closed last week when the Toma VA Medical Center revoked its lease over compliance issues. The daycare's board chair said the closure was unexpected, but said it wasn't due to any rules violations. According to state officials, the center has had a number of reported incidents as of late, including an injury to a child caused by a staff member, which was not reported right away. The center had a capacity of 40 children. Edgewood College is changing its name. It'll now be Edgewood University. The college is turning 100 in 2027. Graduate programs were first introduced at Edgewood in the 80s. That's typically when institutions are considered universities. The name change will take effect in July. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Greg Gard gets number 200. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin held on at the Kohl Center to win 70-68 over The Ohio State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard with his 200th career win.
As I told the team downstairs, I mean, it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people putting me in this position and a lot of people that should go on that 200.
In Chicago, number 7th ranked Marquette beat DePaul in overtime, 85-83. NBA, the Bucks took over early and beat the Kings 130-115, ending Sacramento's 7-game winning streak. NFL, with the loss of Christian Watson to a torn ACL, Jets wide receiver Davante Adams on what he thinks the Packers should do next.
It's looking right now like obviously they might need some receiver help in one way or the other just based off of what they have available. And you know, maybe a veteran or something in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's former Packer Davante Adams with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Sunny this morning, becoming mostly cloudy and breezy by later this afternoon. It will be warmer today with a high of 21. Tonight, 17. Tomorrow, breezy, cloudy in the morning, a little sunshine in the afternoon, 35. We will get to 41 on Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 5 above.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days.
Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, and I highly encourage you to do so, just go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app, and you can call and text directly to whatever your show you're listening to all across the network. So whether you're in La Crosse or Green Bay or Madison, it's great, and it's absolutely free.
You can take it with you on, like, say, a vacation to New Zealand, you Australia, could. Cambodia, Vietnam, the North Pole, the South Pole, or this is not a joke. I want this for real. I want our app to be heard on the International Space Station.
That would be something.
If we got heard in, we go into space we're in space, yeah. But an astronaut being like, I really enjoyed your discussion. I was doing that while floating and fixing something.
Goals. Life goals. It's important to have life goals. Hey, I wanted to remind everyone as well, if you go to our website, civicmedia.us, if you were looking to find ways to help support people in Southern California affected by these just devastating wildfires, go to civicmedia.us and click on the banner at the top. We have some links there for groups that you can donate to. Mm-hmm. And as always, Red Cross is good. World Central Kitchen is also good. And the other thing we'd like to encourage folks to do is donate blood.
Yep.
The need is ever present. It never goes away.
Yeah.
So if it's something that you haven't done in a while, and I just did this, 2 weeks ago, last week?
Yep.
And went and gave blood. It took less than an hour.
I'm up for another one soon.
Are you?
Yep. Next month.
Good
next
for
month.
You. Yep. So consider that as well. Versity has locations all over southeastern Wisconsin, so keep that in mind, too. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you today. On the way at 10:30, Lisa Schiller will be here from the Better Business Bureau. I got a voicemail message a couple weeks ago about, I don't have to pay any taxes.
Jane, you don't have to pay taxes.
I know, and there was a completely legitimate, I'm sure, 877 number that all I had to do was call and find out how I no longer have any tax debt. Lisa Schiller is going to join us to talk about the legitimacy of this, because I'm sure it's absolutely legitimate. At 11:06, we're going to talk about the H-1B visas. And who gets them? And who benefits from them? And someone heading into the Oval Office as of Monday.
Monday, 12:01.
Big fan. Big fan of the H-1B visas.
Are we talking about Elon or Donald Trump?
Well, kind of both of them.
Okay.
Co-presidents, as if you will. At 11:33, it's a hardcore for Grandma Core.
Heck yeah.
You brought this to my attention. I had not even heard of this. It's a new trend among younger people.
Yes.
Doing grandma things.
Grandma-like things.
Grandma-like things. So we'll talk about that at 11:33. We will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the He Got the Shaft edition.
It's exactly what you think it is.
It's worth sticking around for.
Yep.
I think, yeah, it'll be a good one. And if, as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Speaking of our email address there, janesays@civicmedia, got an email from Donna this morning.
Oh, hey, Donna.
And great minds think alike, because I heard the same interview that she heard earlier this morning. And she said, this is some good stuff. You guys should talk about this. And you and I had already planned to start with this. Just because it's about our senior senator, Ron Johnson.
Rojo.
Rojo and sheep-ish. Ron Johnson, in an interview on NPR earlier this morning, I was popping back and forth as I was getting ready to drive into work this morning. Ron Johnson was asked about the situation in California with these devastating wildfires. Mm-hmm. And Ron's got the answers, Greg.
He has got all of the answers. He is the guy with the plan.
Yeah. All we have to do is go back to the 1900s and things are going to be dandy.
What, pray you, say the 1900s? I mean, what would he say are the best practices to mitigate forest fires? I mean, it's like, I wish we had a clip.
I believe, Calvin, we do have that clip.
Oh.
Let's play Rojo on best practices. Clip number one, please.
It seems to me there's the question whether you want to use people in distress as leverage, whether you want to say, I'm not going to help you unless you agree to my policy change. What do you think about that?
I think you first have to consider the economic concept of moral hazard. And I think what has happened over the decades here with federal disaster relief is that more and more individuals, more and more states are just relying on the federal government when something happens, whether it's a hurricane, whether it's fire, you know, some other natural disaster, that the federal government just come in and bail them out. And the result of this is they've passed laws where they've made it very unattractive for private insurers to come in and actually insure properties and assess the risk properly. Mm-hmm. They've encouraged people to build, you know, multi-million, billion-dollar homes and complexes in very vulnerable areas. And they haven't taken the mitigation steps, for example, in California from standpoint of wildfire, as they have in the past. Interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. California used to have 4.5 million acres per year burn. This is back in early 1900s. Then they took mitigation efforts. They allowed, you know, sheep and cattle to graze to heat down the brush. They got rid, you know, they put fire breaks. They auctioned off forests. And that dropped it down to 250,000 acres a year on average. We're back up to 4.5 million because of very bad policy. So,
yeah.
And lack of sheep.
Lack of sheep.
Apparently, it's just a lack of sheep.
Lack of raking the forest and lack of sheep and goats and cattle. That's the problem.
We just need to go back to the early 1900s, Greg, when everything was perfect.
You know, when they weren't building big homes in Los Angeles, California.
Well, and I guess what jumped out at me from that one clip is he's talking about individual homeowners. He's not talking about developers.
No.
Aren't the developers the ones who come in and say, wouldn't this be a great place for a community? Let's set up the infrastructure for this community, and then we will sell these properties to people to buy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it's not that he doesn't mention the developers.
Well, no.
It's just the homeowners.
It's never business's fault.
Actually,
I think he's really blaming California. He's blaming the whole state. And this whole notion that if something happens, the U.S. comes in and helps. Yes, that's what they do. Because you know what states do? They give the federal government, what's that called? Money every year. And that money is used for various things. And one of those various things it's used for is to help through things like FEMA or just through disaster aid. It's a contract we have 50 states as one country that if something goes wrong, that the federal government can help out. This isn't a matter of California losing their house key again. This is a matter of, well, we'll get into it, climate change, massive amounts of fires happening all year round.
Floods all year round.
So to just be so flippant about it and be like, well, they had goats and cattle
and sheep
grazing. Yeah.
That fixed everything.
Why can't they do that, Jane? How about this? Why don't we just unload just 100,000 sheep and cattle and cows and all of them, anything that you need grass, through the streets of California, Los Angeles, the Pacific Palisades. You all get your own livestock. Enjoy. No more fires.
Well, and it's not, I don't disagree that there are things that can be done to help mitigate some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
Certainly. But going back to the early 1900s and grazing sheep does not seem to be the correct answer for today in 2025.
I mean, these fires started last Tuesday. They started last Tuesday. We need to first stop the fires or get them very much under control. Then we need investigations into what happened from a municipality, from a county, state, even a federal level. We need to know what's going on there. And instead of doing what he's doing, which is pointing a big, fat, stupid finger at California, we need to then actually make best practices for, I don't know, the 21st century. Maybe mechanical sheep and cows and bulls and anything that'll eat grass.
AI sheep.
Get Google on it. Elon
can fix it.
That's right.
Elon can fix it all. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson on NPR earlier this morning asked about the wildfires in California and them expecting federal aid to help them.
Yeah.
That shouldn't happen. We just need to go back to the early 1900s practices and bring back sheep.
Yep.
Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Good morning, Rob. Thanks so much for joining us. What do you think about Senator Ron Johnson?
Well, not much, but we'll get past that. Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that he's not at all talking about the coastlines, in particular Florida, where he has a palace on the water, so to speak. I'm sure goats and sheep would help an awful lot on Boca Grande along the beach there.
Yeah.
To eat the seagrass or whatever. I mean, this guy obviously is only living in one dimension when it comes to what we're going to pay out from FEMA and all that, and that's focusing on wherever it's blue. And if it's in a red area along all the Gulf coastlines and all that sort of stuff in the Carolinas, oh, wait a minute now. That's sacred ground. We can't be going there. But you did bring up a point on AI. I'm really seriously thinking cyber trucks out in the ravines of California on RoboDrive. Elon Musk's vision will be totally, they could just have these little weed cutters on the front of them and just roaming, these silver beasts roaming around the hills.
It'd be wonderful. I thought you were going to say just take cyber trucks and set them on fire, but okay, that's fine.
Well, and then, you know what, Rob, they can look for Bigfoot too at the same time, since they're going to be out in the woods all the time. We're going to keep this conversation going. Bill, we see you on the line. Don't hang up. We'll start with you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey. iZervay gets GA going slower.
iZervay or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZervay today.
iZervay gets GA going slower.
Visit iZervay.com. That's iZervay.com.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, Lisa Schiller will be here from the Better Business Bureau. I got a robocall last week before, from the IRS, Greg. I don't have to pay any taxes.
Whoa, are you rich?
And isn't that nice? So we're going to talk to Lisa Schiller on whether or not that's a scam. One wonders. That's after the 10:30 news. Right now that we're talking about Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson appearing on NPR earlier this morning. Republican senators talking now about conditioning aid to California in wake of these devastating wildfires. And they still have red flags up in California. Winds are expected to pick up again this afternoon, which is not good. But Rojo says we just need to go back to the practices of the early 1900s and we'll be ducky.
Just fine.
It's all going to be good. We just need more sheep. We need
more shepherds in this country.
Bill from Oconomowoc has been patient. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us. What do you think?
I'd like to talk about our great Senator Ron Johnson. You know, either you're part of the solution or part of the problem, Ron, and we know what part you stand on. And by the way, as long as you're going to help with funding, work on the Trump Elon Musk Foundation, because I heard they were donating $3 billion, Ron. Is that right? Is that what I hear, Ron? You're going to come up with a donation from Elon and Trump? Ask them about that. And then last but not least, with our great illustrious, what I call criminal president coming in, and he's going to work on tariffs, how much are they going to charge Israel?
That's a good question, yeah. Bill. I don't think Israel has even come up in this.
No.
This discussion about imposing tariffs. But thank you so much for joining us, Bill. Really appreciate you checking in. We want to, Rod, by the way, just to clarify, he has said the same thing about hurricane relief.
Yeah, he does not want to. He voted against a hurricane relief for Florida last year. Checked it in two different sources. He is against the federal government essentially helping the people. He's against the federal government going into disaster areas.
Not my job, man.
Nope.
Not my job. By the way, Rojo's compound, the family compound in Florida, is right on the beach. I looked it up. It's just a small compound. It's only 3,400 square feet. It is on Fairhavens Road, by the way, in Fort Myers, in case you're curious. It's all public record. Rojo and his wife, by the way, recently listed assets worth between $16 million and $78 million. That was as of 2021.
How do you have that discrepancy? 16 and 70.
Seems like a big gap.
Yeah, like between 70 and 75, I get that, or 16 and 18. But it's like, what are you worth, Greg Bach? I'm worth between $5 and $250 billion. You do the math, dude.
Yeah, you figure it out.
Not my job.
Land somewhere in the middle.
Not my job.
We do have another clip that I would like to get to before we go to the news. Calvin, let's play Rojo on climate change. That looks like it's clip number 3, please.
It raises a big question, Senator, because we're talking about climate change, climate-related disasters, fires, hurricanes, and so forth, and we're discovering that not just Florida, but North Carolina is in a hurricane zone, and that the fire season in California is not a few months. It's almost the entire year and almost the whole state. In fact, there are wildfires in other parts of the country. Just a few weeks ago, I was on a train that was canceled because there was a wildfire on the tracks, and this was in Connecticut, the border between Connecticut and New York State. So this is everywhere. And if that is our starting point, and then we focus back in on California and the danger of wildfires, what is it that you want California to do to make themselves more resilient in future disasters or future fires?
Take a look at what they did when they reduced the average number of acres burned every year from 4.5 million to 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, take a look at what they did there. Again, they allowed sheep and cattle to graze.
There it is again.
They auctioned off forests to be logged so they could thin it out, so they could create fire breaks. You know, then the environmentalists took over, and they stopped doing all those very common sense mitigation efforts, and now politicians are blaming climate change like mankind can actually change climate. Like we can prevent climate. We can't. The climate has always changed, always will. We can adapt to it and we can mitigate it. They stopped mitigating it, which is why they're back up to 4.5 million acres burning every year in California. It's just stupid policy and they won't admit it.
We'll just note, I mean, there's all the science on climate change and human caused climate change. I think you're saying that you don't accept that or don't accept
here
that
comes.
The main thing happening. Okay. Okay. Understood.
It's corrupted science.
The science has been corrupted.
From the guy who pushes ivermectin for gargling for COVID-19 cures.
Yeah.
I feel so confident trusting him on this.
I'm beginning to wonder, does he have interest in, like, cattle grazing and things like that?
I think he likes sheep.
Really pushing the sheep, cattle, cow thing to the limit here. And I just love it. And then the environmentalists come in. Oh, the environmentalists. That's why there are fires. Environmentalists and a lack of livestock.
Andrew from Maine texted in and said, doesn't Eric Hovde live in California?
He does.
If we could find him, because after he lost to Senator Tammy Baldwin, he became milk carton guy. Nobody knows where he is.
Do you think J.D. Vance is living at that house, too? No one's heard from him.
We should try and find Eric Hovde and find out how many sheep he has. And does his bank have sheep? And if not, they should get some. Cassandra, on the live stream, the profound stupidity and also the audacity to put conditions on giving federal aid. California pays out more in federal taxes than it gets back, basically bailing out red states.
Absolutely.
That works for all blue states.
Yep. And that's one of the things about this. We don't have time to play the other clip, but this is all about what they're trying to do now is they're making this aid conditional to California.
Right.
And California lawmakers within the state are a part of this. They want to break the liberal agenda of California, which is about, you know, livable wage, inequality, and things like that. You know, all the liberal talking points that are just making it terrible here.
Well, I'm not saying that nothing could change in California.
Things can change, but
I don't know that sheep is going to be the ultimate answer to this.
And you don't put your hand around their neck while they're in trouble.
News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Madison will soon have its interim police chief. Assistant Chief John Patterson will take the helm. He was confirmed by the Police and Fire Commission Monday night. He has the support of Chief Sean Barnes and two other assistant chiefs. He'll take over when Barnes leaves for his new position in Seattle. Patterson has spent more than 25 years at the Madison Police Department. Barnes' last day is February 1st. Now the Police and Fire Commission will work to find the next permanent leader of the Madison Police Department. Governor Tony Evers, joined by violence prevention advocates, local law enforcement, elected officials, students, and community members, signed an executive order today creating a statewide Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention and announced he is directing $10 million for the office to begin its work and administer grants supporting violence and gun violence prevention efforts statewide. The governor's announcement builds upon his and the Evers administration's long-term efforts to address crime, prevent gun violence, and bolster efforts to keep kids, families, schools, and communities safe. Among critical responsibilities, the Wisconsin Office of Violence Prevention will work to connect the dots between state and local government agencies, including law enforcement agencies, to ensure a whole-of-government approach to prevent violence, including gun violence statewide, support and provide technical assistance to local violence prevention and intervention efforts, administer and award grants to school districts, firearm dealers, law enforcement agencies, nonprofits, and government agencies to support violence reduction and prevention initiatives, develop public education campaigns to promote safer communities, and identify opportunities to improve statewide policies or laws. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Seven-time Super Bowl champ and one-time husband, Tom Brady, has come under fire all year long for his on-air gaffes while providing color commentary during NFL games. During last week's game between the Packers and Eagles, Brady accidentally referred to the Eagles as the Phillies, then later in the broadcast referred to Packers running back Josh Jacobs as Brandon Jacobs. This comes on the heels of Brady forgetting the name of one of the teams that beat the Packers during a recent telecast. In addition to Brady misspeaking, when his broadcast partner talks to him, he often nods his head so much, a viewer could get vertigo. Yeah, he's not that great, but people on social media are losing their minds over his missteps. Word to the wise, if it's brilliant elocution you're looking for, don't try to find it on an NFL pregame broadcast from the guy who took shots to the head well into his middle age. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Currently, it's 8 degrees.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our old friend Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, is along and helps us answer the question, what's worse, cilantro or the Kardashians? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Rockin' is my business.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk H-1B visas and who loves them. Might not be people you expect. And then also in the first half hour, an Ohio Republican talks about confusing his voters and says that's a good thing. So we're going to kick that around a little bit on whether or not confusing your voters is good. That's next hour. Right now, though, we're going to talk all things scams with the Better Business Bureau's Lisa Schiller. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Happy New Year, everyone.
And Happy New Year to you as well. Lisa, I got a voicemail last week or the week before that I decided to save because I thought this was something that you might be able to address. And I don't know if you've heard about this in particular, but here is the transcript of this voicemail I got. This call is to let you know all past due tax debt has been placed in a non-collectible past due status, so you won't have to pay. It's all part of the new Federal Economic Recovery Program you may have heard about on the news. Before filing to pay your tax debt, call this number. It was an 877 number. And after I listened back to it about three times, I thought, I'm sure this is completely legitimate.
Wow. If I remember correctly, Greg sent me that information. And I think I called the number and it was not in order any longer. But, you know, anything you get on your phone, a text message, automatic, I would
toss it.
Correct. I was going to say I'd file it in the circular file.
Yeah, I mean, when she gave me an 877 number, I thought that seems unusual for the IRS to do something like that. They would have a dedicated line, wouldn't they?
Well, didn't you tell us before, Lisa, that the IRS doesn't make calls like that to people?
Yeah, the IRS isn't going to call or especially text you. I think they're just too busy.
Hey, this is Steve from the IRS. Give me a call. Good news for you.
Well, yeah, right.
And I never called that number because I wanted to talk to you first, and now it's out of service. But I'm trying to think, what could that scam have been? Like, pay us a certain amount of money, and then we'll make sure that you don't have to pay your past due taxes. It's got to be something like that, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're either after, information, right? Personal information or money or both. Absolutely.
Give me your birth date and your tax ID number.
Well, yeah, let me look into this for you. I just need some information.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, you know, the one that's been happening, at least the one that happens with me the most, and this is besides like the USPS and the Amazon, like your account is waiting for, but the scam ones where it's just a phone number. How's it going? Are we on for golf today? And then what you do is, like, especially they say, like, Roger, we're on for golf this week. I'll say, this isn't Roger. It's the wrong number. Oh, sorry about that. I get things mixed up. And it's not a robot. It's actually a person. And they're trying to get you into some kind of, like, if I'm not mistaken, Lisa, like a crypto scam. They want your money to, quote, invest in these opportunities.
Oh.
So they start that wrong. Like, hey, do you come here often?
I was gonna share my buddy. I would share this insider information with my buddy Roger, but since I got you, I'll share it with you.
right. Got you by mistake, but let's move forward with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually have not seen a report on that in quite a while, but it was a thing. I don't know, about a year ago. It was like, you know, going, you know, everything kind of ebbs and flows. So, did you get that recently, Greg?
I got a lot of them last year. I get them like every here and there now, probably in the past 3 months, maybe once every few weeks. And I used to, because I'm an internal smart aleck, I would be like, whoa, what's going on? But now what I just do is because they want to engage you. So I don't want them to try to find any more information. So I just immediately, I block them, I report them, and that's it.
Good. Very good. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. I mean, you know, they're friendly enough where you think, gosh, you know, do I know this person? I mean, they're being so friendly. They must know me. You know, is it me? Is it my memory? Yeah, saw that, like you said, about a year ago. We had a lot of reports on that, but nothing recently, but I'm sure it'll come again.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say that these scams come and go. I watched the movie The Sting the other night. Old movie about grifters and con men in the 1930s, and they talked about how certain scams, they had to retire for about 10 years because people were getting savvy to them, and that's kind of what scammers do now, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I know I've been doing this for 20 some years, and honestly, that's exactly what happens. I mean, look at the grandparent scam. It used to be, they'd call and say, "Grandma," and they, you know, the person would go, "Oh my God, Johnny, is that you? Oh, you need money? Let me send it." And then people got, you know, wise to that. So then they started to change it up a little bit. Then it was, you know, somebody calling saying that they're a lawyer representing the grandchild, because of course, you know, people were going, "Well, it doesn't sound like my grandchild. So, you know, well, if I pretend I'm a lawyer, this will all make sense," and then say that the grandchild is, you know, in an accident or hurt. So they change it up, and, you know, see this over the years, everything. All the scams I can think of, they change a little bit.
They just tweak them. If you're just joining us, Lisa Schiller is here from the Better Business Bureau, and we are talking about scams. They're successful. We wouldn't be talking about this if these guys didn't make money off of unsuspecting people. They make a lot of money on this. And I don't know if you heard about this, Lisa. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. In England, they actually created an AI grandmother called Flo to purposely engage with scammers and waste their time. You gotta look it up. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And she is the sweetest. She talks about her cat. She talks about, I don't know, her hobbies, to the point where these scammers are so frustrated. They're just like, "Why are you wasting my time?" It's a brilliant thing.
Yeah.
Genius. Love it. I love it. When I go speak to, you know, groups, I give presentations about scams. A lot of the people will come up to me and go, "You know what I like to do? I like to put them on hold and tell them I'm going to get my credit card." And then I blow this loud whistle in the phone, and everybody has these great stories. Or, you know, they keep the scammer on because they're going, "Well, wait a minute. I'm looking for my credit card. I can't find it. You know, let me get my bank account information for you. Hold on a minute." And, you know, it's just funny. I love it.
One of the things too, and the reason why I reached out to you was around the holiday time, and it, because we're still in January, was you had released a press release about holiday returns and exchanges too, and what to be on the lookout for as far as policies and online store policies. And can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, I think first of all, you know, people think that they automatically have the right to return an item if they don't like it or it doesn't fit. And that is not the case at all. And, you know, I think we've seen through the years, big time changes with store policies. I mean, you know, can you remember like 25, 30 years ago, going into Boston store and returning something or some store and getting cash back?
Oh,
my
gosh.
I remember that very well, right? And nowadays, you know, you're lucky to get, a credit of some sort. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really just depends on the individual store and a business and their policy. And it's something that you have to look into beforehand. Again, things have changed. I mean, there's restocking fees now. Most people are shopping online for most items. And so there's a whole slew of different rules that go along with that. And again, individually, so depending on what store you're shopping with. And, you know, then we have the whole, you know, online shopping scams that, you know, you'll never get your money back. So, a lot of changes.
One thing, too, I we learned this when we got our dishwasher. We went to Lowe's and there was a problem. And when we went to Lowe's and called our local store, they said, "Sorry, that's online. We can't do anything for you." I'm like, "They're you, you're them." So you have to know if you're buying something online that has brick and mortar, that doesn't mean you can walk into the brick and mortar with a receipt saying, "I bought this here." They might tell you, "Sorry,
you got to deal with somebody else.
You got to call the online number." That's just all how it is. So at least be prepared for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think with anything, if I had a dime for every time I've said, especially recently, do a little research beforehand. That's really the best advice, you know, whenever shopping for anything or dealing with anybody or, you know, donating or anything, whatever it might be, you know, just kind of look into who you're dealing with, you know, what's going on and, you know, what your options are.
Lisa Schiller is here from the Better Business Bureau to talk about scams, all the latest ones, maybe old favorites that are coming back around again because they do tend to recycle these things. Talking about donation scams, especially now with the wildfires in California, when there was the disastrous flooding in Western North Carolina, I really want to warn people again about stuff you see, particularly on Facebook. And your friend's cousin's dog walker has started a charity to drive things out to California. So here's the GoFundMe page. Don't give to those groups. Give to established, well-established organizations, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is what we see in times of, you know, tragedy, like we're seeing with the California wildfires, like we saw in North Carolina, the flooding. Exactly. And, you know, our hearts are with these visions that we're seeing. So it's very easy, like you said, Jane, to, you know, see a plea like this and want to give and, you know, and not even think and just move forward. You think you're doing a good deed. But, you know, the important thing is, you know, you want to put your hard-earned money towards, you know, the charity or the organization for which your money is going to go towards. Yeah. And in order to do that, yeah, you have to make sure that you know who you're dealing with. You know, in that light, I put out a press release this week about Wise Giving, how to support Southern California fire relief. And we have since added a list of all charities that actually meet our fundraising, you know, qualifications. And so there is a whole list, like American Red Cross, for example, and Salvation Army, Humane Society of the United States. I mean, there's all those animals, you know, in California too, that, you know, are suffering and running wild and that we forget about as well. So there's lots of different charities you can choose. There's about 20 of them, and we have them online at our website, bbb.org.
Check it out. We will put a in our show notes for that. Absolutely. And actually, if you go to civicmedia.us, we have a banner now up on the top page that also includes some links if you would like to make some donations, again, with the Red Cross. World Central Kitchen is another very well-established charity. Jose Andres, the chef, has been all over the world helping out folks who are dealing with natural disasters. Just be careful. And I want to push back, Lisa, I'm sorry, about the Humane Society of the United States. I would encourage you to go to your local humane societies and donate there as opposed to the national organization. I've seen some things about them, about how much they actually spend as opposed to their overhead costs. Mm-hmm. And I think for smaller groups, they have to be a little bit more careful with their money and may have to report that in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
Wisconsin Humane Society is terrific.
Yeah.
Haws Humane Animal Welfare Society in Waukesha County is fantastic. They're all over Wisconsin, and I'm sure, too, that you can find some shelters out in California who are really going to be looking for help because, as you said, Lisa, there's going to be so many animals. The ramifications of this are going to last 20 years.
Yeah, so sad.
PJ Schlomer on the live stream says, Scammer Payback is a great channel on YouTube.
Oh,
if you're looking for a way to amuse yourself, I guess, for a couple of hours.
Yeah, it's just people who know a lot about technology who will just get into those databases, and those scammers start freaking out because I'm sure their pay and their lifestyles depend on how much they can get from people. And yeah,
if you have a question for Lisa, 855-752-4842. Maybe you've gotten a suspicious text, a suspicious email. Let us know. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Donald Trump's inaugural committee has received $170 million in contributions, and it's expected to reach $200 million, almost double his 2017 total. Yes, the contributions pay for inaugural balls, but inaugural funds are also a vehicle for corporate pay-to-play contributions, currying favor for federal contracts, lenient legislation, or access to the president. The Associated Press reported January 9th that the totals were far beyond President Trump's $107 million in 2017 and President Biden's $62 million in 2021. The Federal Election Commission oversees inaugural contributions, and any donation of $200 or more must be reported. But 90 days after the contribution is made and long after the spotlight is gone. There are no individual or corporate contribution limits, and only foreign nationals are barred from donating. Among the known 2024 inaugural donors, Amazon, Meta, OpenAI, Toyota, Ford, General Motors, and Boeing all made public statements when they donated $1 million each. Energy company Chevron said in a statement to Reuters, "Chevron has a long tradition of celebrating democracy by supporting the inaugural committees of both parties." Or perhaps they're sending a message to someone. We have more on the pay-to-play history of inaugurations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Lisa Schiller from the Better Business Bureau, talking about the latest scams going around. They seem to go in cycles. We were talking about helping out the victims of the California wildfires. And just be careful where you make your donations. Make sure it is a well-established charity, including your local Humane Society. Sherry from Horicon checking in on the text line. She just adopted a puppy named Poppy.
Aww.
From the Dodge County Humane Society. So that's
cute.
Another one to consider, and send your money there. Try and keep it local. Yeah. I like to try and keep it local if at all possible. Garage scams.
Yeah, well, you said garage door repair scams.
What's going on with that, Lisa?
Oh, my goodness. So this is so frustrating because I have just seen a couple of reports, complaints come into our office, and we're trying to get a story together. I'm working with a reporter at a local TV station, try to get the word out and show people exactly what's going on. So garage door repair scams are really more common than you think. And what happens is, kind of like locksmiths, all of a sudden your garage door doesn't open, doesn't work. And, you know, people kind of panic, you know, who should I call? And they run over to their computer and they Google, you know, garage repair door companies near me. And they click on one of the first links they see. And what is happening is you are getting these companies that you call. They usually don't answer the phone with a company name. In my experience, they'll just say hello and you go, oh my gosh, is this A1, you know, garage door repair? Yes, this is. My garage door won't open. And they say they're going to send somebody out. They'll usually give an estimate over the phone as to, you know, an estimate again. So an approximate cost of what it'll come to. Then they get there and the price is now double, triple, and even more. So what they do is they target homeowners really by advertising, you know, for emergency repair, or they overcharge for unnecessary repairs. A lot of times the repairs don't fix the problem. So I'm working with some homeowners now to give you an example. This happened to them. Husband had to get to work. Wife had to get to work. Their garage door wouldn't open. they called what they thought was a local reputable company. They Googled garage door, repair near me. They ended up clicking on a link. They got a company that, they had never heard of. Again, they thought they were dealing with a local company. The guy charged them $2,000 for a garage door repair, like a spring. And they paid it with their credit card. Oh. And the guy left. And of course, usually when we hear from people, they go, gosh, I think I paid too much money. The next day, the repair didn't even work. The garage was broken again. That's when they called the local reputable company. Put the dispute in with their credit card, but have not gotten a refund. So I've been kind of researching, who they called. They gave me the phone number. I now have a company name. I now have some information. I'm working with the Better Business Bureau in Los Angeles in regard to this. And we're trying to get to the bottom of it and trying to show consumers, this is the kind of thing, I guess the best advice is, again, like locksmiths, as we're seeing the same thing with locksmiths, your research beforehand and maybe have a company name and a phone number all ready to go because you've already done your research. And that way, in the event that something should break down or, you have a problem, you need to call a company, you've already done your research and you know who to call in advance.
Lisa, wow. Do you guys ever go undercover? Do you need undercover agents? Because I volunteer. I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to do that.
I love that. Well, I've done some over the years, but, I used to work at Fox 6, so I did a lot of hidden cameras. So I love that. I love that stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's like in this case with the garage door repair scams, you really have to make sure that when you click on a website, that takes you to a website, make sure that there's clear identification, mm-hmm. check that business name, make sure there's a physical address, never pay up front. Know that usually garage door repair prices are going to be in the couple $100 range. So be wary of that. Again, of course, paying with a credit card is helpful because, the next day
you can stop
around
it.
Attempt to at least.
$2,000, that's just shocking.
And then it didn't even fix
work.
The problem. They had to,
yeah.
They had to call another company and pay them. Yeah, so sad.
If I call a company and they just say hello and they don't give me the name of the business and I say, is this A1 Garage Door Repairs? And they say yes, should I ask them for their address? Would that make
Absolutely.
Any difference?
Absolutely. And you know what? If they're doing business with the public, there is absolutely no reason they shouldn't give it to you. Now, some companies these days, work remotely. They might use, a PO box because they work out of their home, and that's okay. Absolutely, there's no reason that they should hide information from you. Yeah. And I call companies all the time. I go through our scam tracker report and I try to get to the bottom of things and try to find addresses for consumers and phone numbers so that they can properly file complaints with not only our office, but, whomever else they might need to file with, the attorney general of a particular state or, whatever it is. And when I call and I ask for an address, a lot of times they get rude. They hang up on me. They want to know who I am.
I bet.
And I go, hey, you're doing business with the public. What is there to hide?
Lisa Schiller is with the Better Business Bureau. They are our resource to take advantage of. So call the Better Business Bureau. I'm here for you, Lisa, to go undercover anytime you want. Oh, I'd love it. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Taking care of business. Every way. Taking care of business.
News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Salvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will join us co-host. Trump proposes an external revenue service. Can you reduce the size of government by creating more government agencies? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Santa Ana winds are again battering Los Angeles County, where wildfires have been burning for a week now. ABC's Alex Stone.
It is windy here in Pacific Palisades and Malibu, but a bit of good news. It's not the 70-mile-an-hour winds that were feared, so high wind warnings have been allowed to expire. We're still under red flag fire warnings until tonight. I'm on the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, next to beachside homes that are gone, burned to the ground next to the Pacific Ocean. The destruction of the fire that came through here.
Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi and Secretary of State nominee Marco Rubio, as well as others, taking part in Senate confirmation hearings today. Israeli officials say Gaza ceasefire talks with Hamas have hit a last-minute snag. Goodbye, red Fruit Loops and brightly colored maraschino cherries. U.S. regulators have banned red dye number 3 from the nation's food supply. It has been banned for 35 years from cosmetics because of potential cancer risks. This is ABC News.